In this special edition of the group podcast, we sat around after our regular Sunday at Tirbigal afternoon meeting, and I just wanted to chat with a few people in the room on that occasion, pretty much at random, about their experience of God, because it just strikes me that the people who gather there with us on a Sunday and then go off into their community to try and be hands and feet for God in their dispersed rural communities across a wide area, they are a very interesting group of people. They're a very diverse group of people, certainly for somewhere like the rural heart of Wales. Their experiences varied, their backgrounds are varied, and so on. And they started talking, I started asking questions, had the chance to interview a number of people in the room about their experience of life and their experience of God, where they were before, how it came about that they ever became Christians, and how things now stand with them. Hope you find that interesting. They're a fascinating bunch. And, you know, there's not a type that becomes a Christian. There's not a religious type. But there certainly is a purpose that binds together an awful lot of people, as we'll see by the end. Has everybody got some cake and stuff?
Thanks.
Do you want any drinks? So we're talking about being a diverse bunch, right? And here we are, we're sitting around discussing the origin of the cream and everything. It's Stuart's fault. Stuart, everybody knows you, right? But where do you come from? Where did you grow up? Because you're not Welsh. Where do you come from?
Staffordshire.
Which is sort of... A lot of people come into Wales from Staffordshire. So you came into Wales... You grew up on a family farm, didn't you? Was that in Staffordshire?
Yeah.
So then, when you went to make your own way in the world, is that when you came into Wales? Or?
No. I started on
47
acres in North Staffordshire, right on the Staffordshire Derbyshire border.
Right.
We bought our first farm when I was 21. I paid £5,300 for it, and everybody said, you're off your head, you'll never make it. Pretty much did something, I guess. Yeah.
So it was 1,400 feet above sea level.
Yeah.
Started milking cows there.
Yeah.
We gave ourselves 10 years, Liz and I did.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get away from this place.
Yeah.
The winter started in July and finished in middle of May. That's how it was.
Right.
Oh, anyway, we all got away from there in 6 years and we bought another farm.
Yeah.
600 feet above sea level. We thought we'd made it now.
Yeah, civilization 600 feet.
Yeah, and we were only there 2 years and we came
back to work. Did you cut the blind hair off then, was it?
Yeah.
So she came there. And then that business grew. So you were milking? And then were you rearing the calves or what were you?
Rearing all the calves.
Right, okay.
Got up to 300 cows there, exactly.
Right. Up to 300,
yeah.
Milking,
yeah.
And that was Shorthorns.
Latter day, for the last 20 years, pretty well.
Yeah. Right, so somewhere along the line, you and Liz have become Christians somewhere along the line. Was that down here in Wales, was it?
Funnily enough, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
But it was really.
Right, okay, so it's a bit enigmatic, Stuart. We'll have to unpack that.
Yeah, well, we come to Wales as non-Christians.
Yeah.
We had an old aunt up in Staffordshire, with Lizzie's aunt actually.
Yeah.
She'd come to the Lord, she'd been a bit of a lady of the world, I suppose.
Yeah.
She'd been a singer, a career, she was a professional singer.
Right.
She became a Christian after she lost her husband, he was 51, died one day.
Yeah.
Had a heart attack and just keeled over and died.
Yeah.
She became a Christian, very committed.
Yeah.
She died about a year ago, in the 90s.
Yeah.
But she spent 12 years praying for us, and she still has to be praying for you. I'm praying for you. And we used to laugh about it. Well, if it keeps her happy, that's okay.
Yeah.
it's a strange thing, isn't it? Because we knew what sort of background she came from.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we didn't realise it, you know, as we mentioned that we're a new creation.
Yeah.
So she was a new creation, that's obvious.
And a new person altogether.
But we didn't know what had happened then. Anyway, she prayed for us 12 years, and eventually her son got married.
And he got married in the AOG church. We were invited along to the wedding, and we met a new sort of people. They were all new creations. Then we, of course, we kind of done yourself, so, well, there's something about these people that we ain't got. And then Lizzie's mum died in Canada. She brought her ashes over. She was at the funeral service, brought her ashes back with her from Canada. And again, we were invited to go to this in church up in Stoke-on-Trent, 200 miles away from home. And one of the things that stuck out in that little service was that, you know, he said, well, look at these ashes here. He says, these are Joyce's ashes. He said, do you realise, he said, that there's 14 elements in those ashes?
Well, like chemical elements. Right.
Well, the same thing as you would find in a handful of clay.
If
you took those ashes for analysis, and you took a handful of clay, you'll find the same 14 elements in both.
Yeah.
And of course, I remember the old Bible from school days, which I've never seen in Sunday school days. And I realised that I remember being told in primary school that, you know, God created us out of a handful of clay.
Yeah.
So you sit up and take notice, don't you, of these things?
Yeah.
It wasn't very long before we made a commitment after that.
Yeah.
I think it was the next time, actually, we went up to that church.
So what sort of age were you then? Because you'd been farming for a bit by then.
I was 40.
Yeah.
Yeah,
four,
I was 40.
Interesting.
Same
as you?
Yeah.
40 in your orbit. Life begins at 40.
There's more English accents in the room.
Diversity for worse. So you guys went along, was it your kids were going to Sunday school or something? What happened with you?
Joanne and James went to Sunday school.
Yeah, we were in the pub, drove, left the pub, went into rented accommodation, then we bought our own house.
So you're running a pub.
Yeah.
You stopped running a pub, temporarily rented for a bit, then bought your own place.
And then we're in the street. Well, the kids, they get to know the other kids in the street.
Yeah.
And one day the kid says, hey, Dad, our friends are, they go to a Sunday school.
Can we go?
Can we go? Yeah, we thought.
Bible club that went first.
Bible club,
on a Wednesday night. Pete Everett in the minibus picked them up.
Yeah.
Used to send the minibus round.
Yeah.
And she went with Melanie, her friend.
But it was 2 hours peace and quiet. Especially on a Sunday afternoon as well, when there's nobody going.
Then
one Sunday, Joanne came home and said, Mum and Dad, you've got to come to church next week. I thought, the pigs will fly.
The Sunday school prize giving.
Oh, yeah.
And we got invited to that. Well, I've been church since I was a child. I've been through a church, Sunday school teacher, all sorts of things.
And he hadn't. Yeah.
But I thought I was a Christian, but went until I went to this church, I realised.
They explained it better.
Yeah.
This is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it's,
a lot of people think they're all right, and they're not.
Yeah, that's right. But we went to the Thanksgiving thing, didn't we?
Yeah, Sunday school. Yes. So family Sunday school.
Family service, it was.
It was very good. And a week or so later, one of the elders came round. He got the Sunday school books for the kids.
Yeah.
West,
of course.
Yeah.
He's with the Lord now, dear Roger. And speaking of it, have you ever thought about coming along to a Sunday evening service?
Yeah.
And before I could answer, the 9-year-old daughter popped in and said, Dad, we're not going to one of them, they're boring. And I said, Joanne, I'm the head of this household, I'll make the decision. Roger, we come in church.
And that was the start of it.
That was
music to my ears. Where's this hot water, son?
It was always for Christians. You know, evening service was always gospel. So it was like two sort of different.
Really?
So if we went in the morning, being non-Christian, we wouldn't understand the word they're on about.
Right.
Because it was aimed at Christians, the same.
Yeah.
Whereas in the evening, it was all an gospel.
Outreach.
Yeah, it was all gospel preaching.
The evening, like the whole plan, all engineers.
So, okay, looking around the room, You're not from the north of England, Ash, are you?
No.
Think of that accent, are you?
Yeah.
What's your background? I mean, ethnically, you're not
British-English. I'm half Asian. My dad's North Indian, but grew up in Tanzania.
So your dad's North Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Is he from Punjab?
Punjab, yeah.
From Punjab, so Sikh background.
Mm-hmm.
And you grew up in...
Grew up in East London.
You grew up in... Your dad...
He grew up in Tanzania.
Tanzania,
in Africa, yeah. My mum's an Essex girl, so white girl.
Yeah, Essex white girl,
yeah.
You grew up on estates and stuff in...
Yeah, I was born in the estate, but we lived in the council house and then moved up in the world, moved a mile down the road. Yeah. my mum was looking into becoming a Hindu or something. She was definitely an altar. From what I gather, she was trying to figure out what to do. And she was taking us along to mothers and toddlers group at a local church. And they had a kind of meeting, get together, talking about Christianity, what it is, and why people might want to know. And she met God there unexpectedly, and so she gave her life to Jesus. She became a Christian, and we were obviously just around 4 or 5 years old. Me and my sister,
yeah.
And my little sister had just come along as well, and that became a big turning point and contentious point in their marriage, my parents. Yeah. But we grew up in the Church of England. It was in East London, bordering Essex. Yeah. It was boring. It was in some ways a boring traditional Church of England. But God really met me there. He did, and.
So, that was your mother's experience, but your experience was you were then taken along there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what made the difference to you was that boxing club, was that?
A couple of things. I mean, I'd call a move of God's Holy Spirit in the church, which was a few people who decided to come. And the vicar, actually, he used to pray 6 p.m. every night. He'd pray for the congregation. He'd tell me some stories. He said it was a really hard place when he came there. People were really in a pickle, when religion, the religious kind of thing was, you go along to church, it's traditional type of thing, and he came up against a lot, he said. But there were some really faithful people who prayed in the church, and I was about 11 years old, and I had two things happen. I had a broken toe, went to church in the evening, and they read out what they called a word of knowledge that they got together and prayed before the service in the morning, and God had given them what they felt was a few words, and if any of those kind of resonated with anyone, they would say, perhaps God wants to speak to you specifically, why don't you come up for prayer? And anyway, they'd forgotten to read these out in the morning, and I hadn't made the morning, so it's coming along in the evening, and one of them was a big right toe. And I broke my big right toe, and I went like that, and I said, that's me. You're supposed to go up afterwards, discreetly. And I walked straight up the front of the church, and they prayed for me. And I had no doubt that God was going to heal me. And I walked up, my toe, seemed fine. Took the, wrap off, put my shoe back on, and I was, was happy. So that was quite a big experience.
Encounter with God, really,
I had an early, very sort of strong trust that God was real, something was instilled there. But teenage life was quite hard, both in the church, not really relating, and also pressures, I think, of growing up sort of in the city and all of that. So I thought, I kind of drifted here and there, and then was really challenged by someone that when I was 17, who who challenged me and said, if you want to know God, just pick up your Bible and ask him to speak to you. You know, you could have gone to church your whole life, and it's not a matter of popularity, it's not a matter of how much you know, it's just about, you know, yeah, it's about Jesus and speaking to him and knowing that he loves you. And so I was fuming, but I decided to do what he challenged me to do. I'm like, sucky, I'm going to go and read my Bible. So I picked it up and started reading it on the bus.
Just hang on a minute, say that again. Slap you, I'm going to go and read my Bible.
Yeah. No, I was...
Can you tell me what I do? I'm going to read my Bible.
There was sort of only two ways, you know. He'd embarrassed me a little bit, I felt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I sort of remember saying, oh, I know about Christianity, I've grown up in church, you know.
Yeah,
I know that. But, you know, I really just hadn't connected with God as an adult. And, you know, you start to think, well, I kind of had these experiences when I was younger, but I don't know... what I think now, because life's a lot, you see, you start feeling like life's a bit rough, and you know, you've got to know what you think you can an adult, you've got to pretend that you know you know everything. And he just laid it out, and I knew that God had done a big change in his life. He tried to commit suicide, this fella. He had a really hard, really, really dark time, and God had just bang hit him, and he was a totally changed person. And so I knew from that evidence that there was something worth listening to. So like I said, you know, when he embarrassed me, I thought, I'll either go and slug him one in the chin or I go and read my so I picked up my Gideon I had from school.
Gideon's Bible from
started,
school.
Started carrying it in my pocket to college every day and read it on the bus and the 87 bus. And started reading the Acts. I got to Acts chapter 7, probably on the first or the second day of going into college and reading the Bible. And just, yeah, I read about Stephen being stoned. And I was like, no one would follow Jesus and go to their death. You know, if they weren't totally convinced, like something, this is real. And I just started crying and going, like, Stuart.
On the bus?
Yeah, on the bus. Pulled my hat down over my face, didn't want anyone to see. And that was, for me, that was a big moment where God just totally, like, brought me to crisis point. Like, you either.
But then from that point, given the circumstances, background, where you were geographically and all the rest of it, the culture, hard work.
Yeah, but we had some great, people who were like father figures to me. One of them was Irish, you know, an Irish vicar who was a vicar in the church we went to. And I've told you before, he saw that there were a bunch of young guys, and we, you know, and I said to Caleb earlier, the only youth work when we were in the church first was going to choir practice. And, you know, when you're a call, you know, you've got to try and keep up with the crowd. Going choir practice and doesn't cut it. But he took his boxing club and he paid our subs and must disapproval of some of the PCC and all of that.
Yeah.
And then he actually paid out of his pocket, from what I remember, because I don't think the church had any money. He paid for me to do a youth work training course when I was up 17, and he said you make a good youth worker, you know, and I want you to get some training. So I did a Christian youth work training course, and he paid for it, and
superb. So that's an interesting background. So we've got postman, ex-postman, and ex-catering manager type person from rugby sort of area. We've got and you're from Yorkshire, and you're from
Leicester.
Yeah, right, okay. Rugby Leicester. Well, anyway, my geography's brilliant, isn't it? Stuart's come out of you told me off.
Staff,
Staffordshire, and farming. And you're sort of setting up. You've been doing all sorts. Been building fancy building, good stuff. And now you're going to renovate a pub and run that, which is different again. You know, there's a theme here. Sort of pubs are proper, aren't they?
Yeah. Publicans and sinners.
And sitting on the floor in the corner is Rick, sitting on the dog. And which background? I mean, how'd you end up married to this guy? That's
not
isn't it?
It's a long story.
I wonder where you were. But your background, you grew up in London as well, did you?
Yeah, my family were refugees from Vietnam, boat people. I was born in a refugee camp in Hong Kong on the way. My mum was pregnant with me on the boat. And so I came to the UK aged 1 month.
Wow.
And I've lived here ever since.
Astonishing. So why are you a Christian? Where did that come from? Was that
Well, my mum
growing up where then? You grew up in London, or?
Yeah, South London. We had the usual, you still had school assemblies with Christian prayers and things in those days, not so much now. So I did grow up with some knowledge of Christianity, and my mum's side of the family are Buddhist.
Right.
And my dad is an atheist.
Right.
So, my mum passed away when I was 13, which left me with a lot of questions about sort of, where has she gone? And then I went off to university age 18, and I had some friends on my course who were Christians.
Yeah.
And so we used to spend a lot of time, you know, discussing late at night in the bar or whatever about God, and I was very adamant God didn't exist. And then a mission team came to the university, and these friends said, oh, why don't you go to one of their talks? And I thought, oh, I should, because they're so brainwashed, someone needs to tell them why God doesn't exist.
Yeah, help them
out.
Yeah,
exactly. I've
met people like you. Yeah.
And I literally spoke to this guy for about 3 hours afterwards, and he couldn't give me satisfactory answers to any of my riddles and questions about God, and I felt quite satisfied. But then when I got back to my room, I thought about some of the things he'd said, which is, you know, God, he knows everything about you and he still loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, what would it be like to have a relationship with someone like that? Because I had friends, I had a nice boyfriend, I thought, all the time. But I thought, if they knew everything about me, they would not like me the same. And it was just, you know, I was longing for that honest relationship with someone who would love me unconditionally and accept me. And I just suddenly felt the presence of God in my room, and I thought, this is very late at night. I'm just overtired. I'm going to go to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, I'll be all right. He said, so I woke up in the morning, and I could still sense this presence of God with me.
Scary,
yeah? Yeah, and then I kind of realised God had been there all the time, and I just never noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would say to me, oh, that's so bizarre. How can you go from not believing in God at all to suddenly, you know, thinking God is everywhere? I mean,
are you saying, looking back, you could see he had been?
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard people say that. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot. Do you know, there's a theme in the room, and we've all come to Christ in our own different ways.
That's incredible.
But it is incredible, but all from not having grown up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Except for Caleb. A child.
What went wrong with
him? Has grown up in the most chaotic of situations in ministry we've had, and whatever, but has grown up in that place, which is poses its own issues and problems.
PK,
he's a PK pastor's kid. He's a PK, really. He's been a missionary kid, which is really hard going. But I guess the big deal, Caleb, is your old man tried to die on you, really.
No, not really. It's before that.
And he was annoyed.
Well, been working on farms a lot, haven't I?
Yeah.
And always managed to get into really bad situations, especially if I walked out of.
Yeah.
And I love farming of sucking accounts, particularly sort of light stores, and they push you about a bit. I love that. There's quite a few times, but yeah, I really shouldn't have walked out of the...
Shouldn't have got out of that alive.
Shouldn't have carried away in a box, like...
Farming's like that.
And I always knew about, you know, God and all that. But yeah, this maybe, oh yeah, this is real, like... he's watching over me. And, yeah, when it became really, really scary was when you had that cardiac arrest thing. That's when it was really scary, because like, you had gone and come back. It wasn't just Mick looking after you. It was, yeah, he was dead.
Yeah, and the ambulance wasn't turning out very quick.
No, I had a word with them.
Yeah, I think so. But you prayed.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do anything else. So you're thrashing about like corpses do.
Yeah. Well, hypoxic death is like that. Interesting. And you prayed, and then you got your father back. You probably got more than you bargained for, really.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done it. One of the really good ones was I did some work on a farm for a bit, for a couple of days, and first time away from home on my own, you know, and long way away from home, and yeah, I should have died about 6 times a day, every day there.
It was dangerous,
not safe at all. And it was, the whole time I knew, well, I'll be alright, I'll get out of this. And then he was, what's your room for me, mate? And it was like he was following me around the yard. Mm-hmm. To everything in the room. Mm-hmm. So I always knew about it, but then getting older, like, and you think for yourself, yeah, it came obvious, yeah, this is serious and this is the thing, this is what for it is. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, I believe this because my me and daddy have told me that's how the world is.
Mm. Thank you. So the interesting thing is, there's not a type, is there?
No.
We're all different types. And there's not an age group, because, well, you were sort of mid-teens, late teens. Mm-hmm. You're talking about sort of mid-teen experience now. Mm-hmm. A student, you know,
240s, yeah.
It's 240s, yeah. So it's really across the board, really. Mm-hmm. And now, talking to you guys, you're 17, mm-hmm. and there are those in the room who are 70 plus.
You were 17.
so all I'm seeking to establish. is that it's just not a type, it's just the grace of God that reaches into all sorts of different people's lives, different experiences, mm-hmm. and you know, brings about a sense of peace and wholeness and well-being and right, and helps you forward with your life day after day, isn't it? With all the different challenges, different times, which is exciting and encouraging. Mm. Thanks for that. Mm. It's interesting. We do talk about how diverse a bunch we are, and it's good that the church should be like that. That's what it's supposed to be like, because God's bringing together people from every tribe and language and people and nation at the end to stand and sing together in front of the big white throne, giving thanks for the goodness of God and the way the gospel's worked for us, isn't it? It's terrific.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed that The Group podcast special today. It may have raised issues for you. It may have raised questions in your mind, maybe in your heart. And there are things you need to talk through or have somebody pray over with you. And we're really open to that. We're really here for that sort of purpose, really. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do that through the website. It's www.ergroup, that's YGRWP.com. Hope that's been of interest. Hope you find things there that would be useful to you. Hope you might even take up the sort of challenge that Ash got from somebody in his life to pick up a New Testament, read it through, and see if God is there and speaking to you, because that's the sort of thing that's helped a lot of us over quite a period of time. If we can help you with that, as I say, please get in touch through the website. Otherwise, just thank you so much for listening to today's A Group Podcast special.